Hey guys, this is Evan Dystopia, and this is the aftercare for the Daddy's Discipline audio, specifically aimed towards people who don't have the easiest time listening to non-consent content. As such, I'm not going to be using the R word throughout this aftercare. I don't think I'm going to need it. We're going to talk a little bit about abuse, and we're going to kind of deconstruct some of the things that get said in the audio, just as a heads up, but I won't be yelling them, I won't be saying lines in character. The point of this is to keep us grounded, or to re-ground us, and sort of detach a little bit from the fantasy and examine it from an outside perspective. So, first off, as always, if you did not enjoy this audio, if you, started it and recognized that this is not what you want to listen to, or if you even looked at the tags and description and went, yeah, I'm going to skip this one. I just want you to know that I think that's an incredibly positive and mature thing. It's good for us to recognize that not all content is, enjoyable, right? And that it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you, and it doesn't mean that you're being excluded, and it doesn't mean that you're missing out. Okay. Your boundaries deserve to be respected both by others and by yourself. And so if you took a step to respect your own boundaries and you didn't listen to this audio, or you didn't listen to the whole thing, or even if you didn't self-insert, right? Or whatever, right? If you didn't enjoy it. I just want to tell you that that's okay. You don't owe anybody anything. You don't owe anybody an explanation as to why. You don't owe anybody your time or your presence or your listens or whatever. You most certainly do not owe me anything or any other performer here, in my opinion. I know that I've seen some comments that say things like, I feel guilty when I don't enjoy all of a person's content. And so I just want to tell you that you don't have to feel guilty. There's nothing, you didn't do anything wrong by not enjoying something. Anyways, to get into the meat of the aftercare, I am going to go through sort of the things that get said by the speaker character. Before we do that, I just want to acknowledge, there's an in-character aftercare. Oof, it's a lot of words or syllables. It really wasn't, but, I actually haven't recorded it at the timing of this current recording, but, basically it's a alternate, not an alternate, it's an additional ending that gets tacked on, where basically it's revealed that it was a consensual fantasy all along, and like both people were into it, and that was the whole thing. I put that in just out of respect for the fact that toxic DDLG relationships are a lot more prevalent than a lot of the non-con topics that I tend to handle. A lot of them tend to be like really outlandish, right? It'll be like, something happened on the subway, or like they changed the laws, or like something crazy, right? And this one I think is a lot more real to a lot of people in this community. So just out of respect for that, I did choose to make an optional CNC ending where it was like cuddly and aftercare in character, and it was like, oh, you're okay, like you're not. Well, I didn't make it yet, I'm going to, but for the purposes of this aftercare, I'm going to ignore the optional CNC. I'm going to treat it as if it was just the audio proper, without the optional CNC, without the consensual non-consent, right? I'm going to treat this as a fully non-consensual audio, because I do think it's worth breaking down the things that get said and treating them seriously. So, pretty much right away, the first thing that the speaker character says, one of the first things that he says is, that's not how this works, princess. You do not get to say no to daddy unless I order you to. And he goes on to say, I'm your daddy Dom, you're my baby girl, and that means you follow my orders. So this is not how DDLG is supposed to work. This is not how BFE is supposed to work. This is not how a real relationship is supposed to work. There is no good dynamic that comes out of, like, a true rule where one party is not allowed to say no, right? It's fine if it's, like, within a fantasy, right? If like, both parties have agreed that this is, like, a thing that they're into and they want to talk about that beforehand and establish their limits, but an actual dynamic where the one person is, you know, not given permission to say no is highly toxic and highly dangerous and highly irresponsible. So right off the bat, literally the first thing, and a lot of this was intentional. Like, I wanted it to be toxic, and I wanted it to be something that we could easily look at and be like, well, clearly this is bad, right? But I think it's worth looking at it and saying, well, this is bad, right? He kind of goes on to say, you are not allowed to resist me, or else daddy's going to have to punish you. Is that what you want? To be treated like this, basically? And this is another pretty loaded thing, because what he's doing here is he's blaming the listener character. He's blaming the listener for the punishment that he's about to enact on them, the quote-unquote punishment, or the quote-unquote discipline, right? Really, he's blaming them for the, I'll say it, like, the abuse that he's about to pile on them. But I thought this was worth looking at, because oftentimes abusers will justify abuse by doing stuff like this, by saying, well, it's your fault, right? If you didn't want to be treated like this, you wouldn't have gone against what I said, right? This is manipulative. I can't talk. I tried to say manipulation and manipulative at the same time. This is manipulation. This kind of, like, shoving off of responsibility. Oh, it's not my fault that you're gonna get hurt, that I'm gonna hurt you, right? It's your fault, right? This is manipulation, and this is, you know, recognizing this is probably an important thing for us to be able to do as people. Right afterwards, the beginning of this is just loaded. A lot of these things are gonna repeat themselves throughout the audio, but the beginning is gonna be a little loaded with quote unquote analysis, for lack of a better term. Literally the next thing he says, or maybe I should find a real good girl, a nice little real princess who knows, who understands how to properly follow orders, and any kind of goes on that point. And that's also kind of a manipulation tactic, I think, where it's, you know, if you don't like me, I can go find someone else. I don't need you. Like, this kind of thing, this is also really heavily manipulative. And it's cruel. It's cruel behavior. This is, again, not how you deserve to be treated. This is not how anybody deserves to be treated, I think. Being told that, you know, in a relationship that's supposed to be, you know, nurturing or kind, that a person could just go out and find someone else instead. That is something I think hurts a lot to hear, but it also kind of, from what I assume, it's meant to enact sort of like a fight or flight or like desperation response, right? Because as the listener, presumably, the listener character doesn't really want that to happen, right? Maybe the listener character has kind of failed to recognize that they're in an abusive situation, so they don't want the daddy character, they don't want the speaker character to go find someone else, right? But, so, it kind of again, it puts the blame on them. It puts them in a vulnerable position. So just recognizing that this is a thing that might get said or done to force somebody into complying or to force them into a vulnerable situation is probably a good skill for us to have. Some water. This is going to be a long one. This next part, this is kind of a smooth transition, but he kind of goes on to say, "You're lucky. You're lucky. I still even want to fuck you. You're lucky. Whatever, right?" And again, right? Like that. He's the speaker character, right? He's putting himself up on this pedestal, right? You're lucky to get to be with me, right? He's kind of continuously shoving himself up in the power dynamic, and he's shoving the listener character down in the power dynamic, right? You're lucky you get to be with me. That's it's remarkably untrue in this audio, but I think just pointing it out as another example of manipulation and power dynamics is probably important. He goes on, there's some physical struggling. He says, "Did you really think you were going to be able to stop me from throwing you down and making you do your job?" And the job, as implied, is the listener character, having sex with the speaker. And I gloss over it in the audio on purpose, because that's kind of how I think it probably gets done. The implication and the casual implication that one person's job, it's one person's responsibility to have sex with another, that's not how it works. It is no one person's responsibility to have sex with another person, despite what anybody might say, despite what any religion or family member or partner might tell you. Sex is meant to be something that is enjoyed consensually and enthusiastically between partners, not as a begrudging responsibility. So the implication that it's the listener's job to have sex with the speaker is one that is sinister, I guess. And then Jesus Christ, this is it's kind of a fucked up script. He goes on, right, immediately after, "You're going to play the victim, huh? You want to sit there on the ground and act all sad because daddy was mean to you?" And he says it in his, the performance note in the script says sarcastically babying. So he's kind of, mocking the suffering, right? Saying that, you're just being sensitive. You're too sensitive, or, you're victimizing yourself, right? He's, whether consciously or not, I'm going to say consciously, I guess. I think he's consciously doing these things, the speaker character. I really did intend for him to be a malicious force. Invalidating. Oh my God. He's invalidating the listener's suffering, right? By partially for blaming it on them and partially for, saying that they're making a bigger deal out of something that than it actually is. I think this is pretty toxic, because if somebody is suffering, right, even if it is because they were really sensitive about something, it doesn't invalidate the fact that they suffered, and I think that's something that deserves to be talked about between partners, right? Maybe it's not a deal breaker if somebody, oversteps a line and says something and unintentionally that hurts another, right? That happens between friends, that happens between partners, it happens between just people in general, but the fact that instead of, you know, like feeling any form of remorse over hurting his partner, the speaker character just goes on to mock them and to devalue that pain. Another red flag, right? And again, these are all pretty obvious things. I don't think you guys need me to, like, sit here and go through it. Hopefully it's very clear that these are all terrible things that are being said and done. But again, I think it just helps to hear it from the voice, for the sake of aftercare. The next part, right? You rely on me. I pay for you to live here. I pay for the food you eat. I pay for you to live. And the only thing you need to do is be a well-behaved little slut for me when you're ordered to. This is also definitely like a power and manipulation thing. Sex is not something that, you know, can be like squeezed out of somebody just by like shoving money or safety or like, you know, fiscal security or emotional security down their throat. Right? A person doesn't get to say like, well, I was nice to you, now you owe me sex, right? That's not how it works. So this sort of same thing here, right? Where he doesn't get to just be like, well, because I pay for you to live here, you owe me sex, right? If sex is given in exchange for money, that's fine. But, you know, that's something that all parties need to agree upon, right? And again, in my kind of headcanon, I didn't really put this anywhere in the script, but like I kind of put it in I kind of intended for there to be history where maybe the speaker character has isolated the listener character from their means of emotional support and their means of fiscal support. Maybe he's like kind of bullied them into, not accepting aid or distancing themselves from their friends, family, or loved ones. Which again is another kind of like abuse and manipulation tactic. So, that's not good. I think a lot of this, the following stuff is kind of repeat, but I would like to go through it. I don't want to just go through like the first page. There's 6 pages of this script. But some of these are kind of repeat points, so I'm going to start to gloss over them, or else this aftercare is going to be like an hour long and, I'm exhausted. apologies if I sound a little congested, He goes on to say, I was going to ease you into this, but I don't think you deserve that anymore. Again, this is the same thing we talked about earlier. He's pinning the blame, right, on the listener for what he's doing, right? You don't deserve this because of what you did or what you didn't do, right? He says, I'm pissed off that you thought what you want or what you don't want is more important than me. This is kind of hypocritical because he's assuming that what he wants is more important than what the listener wants. What both people want should matter. And if one person is uncomfortable, then that should probably be respected by the other person. He goes on, I'm pissed off that you don't care or put anything into this relationship. Even if that were the case, which in my kind of headcanon, it's not. But even if that were the case, even if one partner isn't, like, putting themselves into a relationship, it doesn't give the other partner a right to force somebody into having sex or to abuse them. Let's see. Same stuff here, right? Daddy's gonna give you what you fucking deserve. Again, this whole concept that the listener character deserves to be punished is kind of fallacious, right? Because, you know, nobody deserves to be punished for saying no. This next part, you're a naughty kitten who doesn't obey daddy, so now I have to slap the shit out of that pretty face of yours. This is again the same thing. The responsibility is being shoved onto the listener, right? Now I have to do this because you made me, right? Nobody's making him hip, the listener, except for himself. He's the one doing that, right? I want you to feel fucking bad for making me do this, right? Again, same thing. The listener is being held responsible for the speaker's bad behavior. Let's see. Okay, he puts the listener across his lap. He says, "You feel that against your belly? That's right. Feel it. Remember it. That's my problem." There's an implication that it's because he's hard, is what the listener's feeling, right? I got horny, and it seems that you need a reminder that my problems are your problems. To a certain extent, this is kind of true in a relationship, right? When we're in a relationship or in a dynamic, I think it's fair to say that we do take on each other's problems, right? But this is kind of something that we agree to do, not something that we can be that we should be forced to do. And in this situation, even though what he's saying in some situations might be true, right? In a lot of healthy relationships, people help each other shoulder their partner's burdens. But in this one, right, he's saying my problems are your problems, right? And it's not that it's because it's been really agreed upon. It's because it's something that he decided, right? And then again, right afterwards is again that same shift of responsibility, right? That blame that's being heaped on the listener, right? This is a problem that you could have solved easily by riding my cock when I order you to, but you chose not to. You chose to say no, and that means you chose me punishing your ass, and a bunch of spanking occurs, right? This is the same thing, right? You chose this. You wanted this, right? You could have solved this problem, right? And all of this blame is being put on the listener, where I don't really know how to put it clearly other than just saying it outright, is that the responsibility for this stuff is not on the listener, but it's on the speaker. It's on the daddy. It's on the daddy character. Let's see. Right. Same thing. This is kind of like the most prevalent thing, is the idea that it's the listener's fault. You put me in a bad mood. Now you're going to take responsibility. I'm going to make you take responsibility. Right. Does it hurt? Do you hate getting punished by daddy? Then don't make me fucking do this to you anymore. Right. And again, this idea that the listener is making him do this is not true. Right. He's the one that has chosen to take his temper out on the listener character, right? Let's see. This next part, this is kind of like the mind break part, right? Your job is not to think for yourself. Your job is not to want for yourself. I do the thinking and wanting for you. You're here to follow daddy's orders because daddy knows what's best for you. There's a lot in this little section, right? The removal of agency, right? You know, your job is not to think, your job is not to want, right? He's kind of completely ignoring this is really unempathetic, I guess, is the way I want to put it, right? There's no like acknowledgement or awareness that his partner is a person that has their own wants and needs and desires and boundaries, right? Everything is about him. It's definitely like a bit of narcissism here, right? The idea that, right, daddy knows what's best for you, right? He doesn't know what's best for her, or he doesn't get to decide, right? Even if maybe he does know best, which he doesn't in this case, but like, you know, the kind of imposition of will is like really irresponsible, I think, without some form of like conversation at the very least, right? What other stuff? There's a lot of slapping involved. I think the rest of it is pretty straightforward. A lot of it is kind of just like conditioning and mind break. Let's see. I'm gonna scroll down a little bit more. The actual sex part a lot of the manipulation kind of flies out the window, and it's more just kind of just like force stuff. I think that's kind of the majority of what I want to go over. This kind of, okay, there's some choking involved, right? Later on in the scene, you fucking breathe because I allow you to. That's not okay, right? This kind of like over, like forced reliance, right? Again, he's shoving himself into the position of provider, or the one who holds power, where it's like, again, within a fantasy, this is okay, but not in a real dynamic, which this was meant to be. You deserve this. You deserve to be filled up, blah, 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 blah. You deserve to be broken, right? Nobody deserves to be treated this way, unless it's something that they want. The last part that I kind of wanted to go over in the audio is the end after the climax. Good girl, he says, right? You did a very good job of learning. I'm very proud of you. There's this weird shift to praise. This is kind of a scary one because there's nothing inherently... That's not true. It's not like abusive from a first glance, right? The last section says, I'm proud of you. Do you want daddy to be proud of you? Say yes, daddy. You understand that you're meant to be my obedient little fuck princess, right? Say yes, daddy. Blah, 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 blah. Right at the end, the last thing he says is, that's a good girl. Good girls get rewarded with kisses, and then there's a kiss. And this is kind of a scary thing because he's ending this like really violent and shouty, you know, session with praise and comfort, right? And it's not in any context of like, this was roleplay all along, or like, oh, I'm sorry, right? Like, It's just there, and what that's kind of meant to do, I think, is to it's meant to kind of gaslight the listener into thinking that this is okay. Kind of send home the idea that like, well, I got kisses at the end, so maybe it wasn't a beat, or just something like that, right? Like, it's really meant to fuck up the listener, because presumably, I guess in my head canon, right, the listener wants to be treated well. They want to be comforted and told good things and you know, kissed or whatever. And I think giving somebody this kind of positive shower of attention after after mistreating them is pretty manipulative in a lot of ways, right? It kind of glosses over. There's no acknowledgement that, like, the way that he treated her is not okay, that it's unhealthy, right? It's just like, well, now it's all better now, so we can just move on, right? That's something that I think can be really difficult to recognize, because it's, you know, the act of saying, you know, good girl and giving somebody a kiss on the head is not something that we would generally look at and go like, well, that's abusive, or like, this is manipulation, right? But I think in the context of just kind of using it as punctuation at the end of such a negative experience, I kind of intended, at least in this audio, for that to be something actually pretty sinister. And that's something that, you know, I don't think we recognize a lot. It also helped deters us from recognizing other things that might not have been good. So, I don't know. It's just something that I thought was worth discussing or worth bringing up, right? I don't want to get too into it. I'm not going to get too into it, but a lot of the things that went into this audio are, you know, I'm not entirely foreign to all of them. But like the reason I wanted to go through the things that he said and not just like the whole point that he like physically forces the listener character is that, I think not to devalue like physical abuse, right? But you know, I think sometimes we don't recognize or we gloss over, kind of like physical, manipulation, or sorry, we gloss over like the verbal parts sometimes, right? So I guess my point with all of this is that like just because, you know, somebody isn't, you know, being like sexually abusive or physically abusive, you know, there's still other ways that there's still a lot of things that can constitute mistreatment, and the fact that it can come from, you know, like a malicious place, or like an intent to hurt somebody, you know, that's just not okay. And I thought it was worth walking through them and pointing out that they're bad and pointing out that it's not okay. People deserve to be treated better. People don't deserve to be isolated. People, you know, deserve help and support from more than, you know, one, possessive or potentially abusive partner. Sorry if I got mumbly there. I've been kind of looking down. I'm fidgeting a little bit. At the end of the day, the speaker character is meant to be a villain. He's not meant to be a positive person. I think if this is something that you... this is the after cover, people don't enjoy it, so I'm not even going to get into an if, right? I'm going to say, for the people who do enjoy it, right, for them, I think it's okay for them to enjoy it as a fantasy. But even as the person who might be into this as a fantasy, I would really heavily caution them against, you know, entering into something like this without having a discussion or without, like... you know, enforcing their boundaries. I guess I just hope it's helpful to hear from me that, you know, this is wrong. Without any, like, you know, in the vacuum of just the audio itself, right? Without any, like, post-CNC aftercare or anything, right? This is wrong, and it's not okay. I definitely intended to portray a really toxic and negative, relationship. And I think, again, it's kind of a fantasy, so it is meant to be sexy a little bit, but I do think it's important for us to step away from that fantasy, for everybody to step away from that fantasy and go, you know, outside of the fantasy, like, this is stuff that happens to people. And they deserve to know that it's not okay. Then they deserve to hear that, you know, this is inappropriate and toxic. So, sorry. Yeah, this was a very long aftercare. This is like twice the length of the audio at least. But, I hope that stuff is helpful to hear. So yeah. Thank you for listening. If you've made it this far in the aftercare, you know, again, to kind of close it on a attempted positive note, I've been kind of putting on a little bit more dark content lately. It's just kind of something I stepped away from because it was something I was really insecure about. I am making a concentrated effort to put out a little bit more dark content, lately. So if that's something you've noticed, I would just like to reassure you, that I haven't forgotten you. I do make a very strict effort to make sure I'm not posting, multiple, non-con audios back to back. I try to make sure that I always keep, you know, a fully consensual audio in between. So next week's will be fully consensual. There will be consent checks. If I post the audio that I think I'm going to post, I just want you to know that you're important to me. As a person who I presumably does not enjoy non-con, since this is the aftercare for people who don't enjoy non-con, your boundaries matter to me too. And while it is important to me that I'm putting out like the dark non-con content, I do want to make sure that you have accessible and friendly content to listen to. So thank you for your patience, and I'll continue to do my best to make sure that we establish what kind of behavior is unacceptable, and that we continue to create a safe space here. So yeah, thank you for listening. This has gone on for long enough. Bye.